The Hayes Advantage with Kathleen Hayes and Vonnie Quinn. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
We have Ben Willis, Managing Director at Albert Fried. And Ben, we're seeing just a slightly risk-on tone, although I suppose the NASDAQ is a bit divorced from all the action today with the earnings news overnight.
Well, good morning, Vonnie. Yes, I always like to see the NASDAQ divorced from anything, but that's just personal. Jaded view of the marketplace. But I think that the risk-on is all, if you want to take this up to, say, 30,000 feet, so to speak, as far as the market goes, U.S. equities have been flat for the quarter with as far as a stock market. And I think that all becomes a factor of pricing in a new China and all that's going on there. Today, copper continues to trade lower, even in the face of Freeport executive saying that he sees China's demand continuing for the next decade. What we're learning about the repricing of China is that we are repricing copper as a de facto currency, that if you couldn't trade the yuan, you were trading copper and hypothecation. So that's the dynamic there. The U.S. market at a standstill, if you will, as a stock market, but the stocks themselves, there seems to be money going into healthcare, particularly biotechs and the IPOs, the basic material and the financials, and that is an indication of the accepting of a growing world economy and accepting the risk that goes along with that. But I think as the year goes on, it'll become more and more a market of stocks rather than a stock market that we've been used to for the last 5 years.
So basically, China less growth in terms of demand for commodities, but people liking biotech, healthcare, financials as a sign of growth in the rest of the world?
Yes, particularly the United States. It appears the United States, which led the world economy lower, is on the trajectory for recovery along with the European Union, while the China, which saved the world from going into depression, is now slowing down. And you have reports out of JP Morgan suggesting that the housing boom in China is done. It doesn't mean there's no longer going to be housing built and used for copper and et cetera that goes with that, but it's not going to be booming the way we had seen it. So now we're pricing in standard growth rather than double-digit GDP growth out of China and all that goes with it. So that's having the global effect, if you will. While we come into the United States, money managers are able to sit on their hands, so to speak, and trying to figure out where the central banks of the world, a la Janet Yellen, will be directing the economies that they intervened 5 years ago to stave off what was headed to, I think, a depression if we actually didn't hit one. So I think the drivers of this market and stocks will be the central banks. So we'll wait to see. And again, I'm of the school of thought that while they may change the verbiage, they're not going to actually change the tools and the use of the tools yet. So it's just giving us an indication of what to expect when they say at their next meeting, the words they'll use, not necessarily the actions.
Well, it used to be pretty clear what would happen to stocks depending on what the Fed would say. You know, bad news was good news for the stock market and vice versa. What will happen today if we get some kind of change in the forward guidance framework, if they take away, for example, some of the thresholds?
I don't think we'll see much of a reaction. If anything, maybe a slightly positive. As I said, they may be changing the verbiage. In other words, going from the quantitative, which I was a fan of, quite frankly. I mean, they're as a central bank, they have two direct mandates as far as inflation and employment go, and it was pretty clear on what they were going to use to reach those mandates. And now, you know, everybody called it forward guidance. The only other tool that goes with that is historical perspective. So I think you may get a slight positive in the fact that they will acknowledge the fact that they need to have a little bit more wiggle room in deciding interest rate policy based on one single number.
Right.
But the net effect will, I think, just be we are going to continue to taper and we're continuing to continue on the zero interest rate policy until further notice.
So, Ben, you know, I think another thing that could get some attention, well, a couple things. Number one, the Fed is going to release its forecast for when they think the key rate moves off zero and the GDP forecast and unemployment. That could move the markets, presumably, because if the forecasts become stronger, then people might think, oh, or even if they change their Fed funds rate forecast. We don't know what's going to happen there.
Right.
Steve Englander said a hawkish outcome of this. Steve is head of G10 Forex at Citi. He's on the show yesterday.
Right.
That a hawkish outcome would be if they keep the 6.5% unemployment threshold, because it would mean perhaps that we're going to hit 6.5% pretty soon. And if we do, we'll be that much closer to the Fed moving the key rate. So it does seem like this isn't just a slam dunk for the markets.
No, I don't think it is a slam dunk in the sense that even if they keep 6.5%, again, I think that what they'll do is taper the 6.5% as far as its importance in their verbiage, and say this is still a guideline we're looking to use, but that doesn't mean it'll be an instant if-then effect. If we hit this, then this, and we'll continue to see. We're getting hawkish views. We had Fed head today talking about he sees rates going up by the end of the year, yet that doesn't seem to be the majority.
The Hayes Advantage, weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Boston on 1200 a.m. and 94.5 FM HD2, or on Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 119. Copyright 2014, Bloomberg LP.